Hello there everyone, I hope you're doing well. I'm Rob, a producer on the Black Country Talking News, and this week's edition is for the 6th of July, 2022.
Hello and welcome to the Black Country Talking News, brought to you by the sight loss charity Beacon Centre. We are pleased to confirm that the Talking News is now available via Alexa. Once you've enabled the Talking Newspaper skill, all you need to do is play Talking Newspapers and ask for the Black Country Talking News. Our Talking News service is also available via the free Wireless for the Blind app. It can be found on the Beacon Centre website. www.beaconvision.org/talking-news as a podcast via services such as Apple or Spotify, or as a free CD. Simply contact Beacon Centre on 01902 880 111. We hope you enjoy this week's edition.
Thank you, Angela. Speaking for us this week, we have myself, Rob, Helen, Mina, Angela, Ed, Christine, Ian, Liz, Ashley, Tim, Simon, and of course, Flashback Roger. In this week's edition, we have an update from Beacon, some local news from the Black Country, we have the weekly quiz with Mina, news from West Bromwich Albion and Wolves, a Did You Know section from Flashback Roger, the weather, information about an audiobook service and Beat the Street Dudley, advice regarding holiday scams, an article about cataracts. And rounding us off, we have an interview with Simon Cox of Cobalt Systems about their products, which are designed to help people with visual impairments. However, we start this week with our Guess the Sound competition. I'm going to play a sound clip, and all you have to do is simply guess what it is. So, here's this week's clip. Have a think on that, and Mina will reveal the answer later, alongside the usual quiz answers. We have now then, as always, some local news, brought to us by Ian, Angela, Liz, Ed, and first up, it's Christine.
The region's top cop has suggested a council leader had undermined policing by criticising one of his officers in a row over travellers. Sir David Thompson said Dudley council leader Patrick Harley's disrespectful comments about Chief Superintendent Kim Maddill were unusual and unexpected. He insisted policing was operationally independent of politics and made a plea for respect between the force and other public bodies. It comes after Councillor Harley was found to have breached Dudley Council's code of conduct over comments made about Chief Superintendent Maddill's handling of a group of travellers at the Budden Road transit site in Coseley. In an email to police staff, Sir David wrote, "Police officers do an important job and deserve to be treated with respect. Disrespectful, ill-founded personal comments to officers undermine policing, whether they are through behaviour on the streets or from the offices of important and influential people." Sir David said he welcomed the findings of Dudley Council Standards Committee, which ruled Councillor Harley's comments were disrespectful, unwarranted and inappropriate. "Policing is operationally independent of politics. We make decisions based on the law without fear or favour," he added. "However, we always seek to work closely in partnership with other agencies for the public good. We can disagree, but we must respect each other's roles and decisions. We have a very good relationship with Dudley MBC, and these comments were unusual and unexpected."
Half of the region's greenbelt that has been allocated for homes can be saved if council chiefs follow recommendations in a new brownfield study, Andy Street has said. An independent review commissioned by the West Midlands Mayor has urged councils to make better use of brownfield sites in the push to meet the region's housing target. And Mr. Street said he believes around half of the 7,700 homes planned for the Green Belt could be built on old industrial land. He urged local authorities to urgently amend the Black Country plan to save the Green Belt and said building homes in town and city centres could see vibrancy return to run-down areas. Mr. Street said, "The review endorses a lot of the work the councils have done with the Black Country plan, but it does identify ways in which more can be made of existing brownfield sites, resulting in less greenfield land being taken to meet the region's housing target. One of the key areas is strategic centres, where it is clear that we need to increase the pace of redevelopment to take more housing. I'm hoping the councils respond to this review by amending their plan and are able to protect more of the greenbelt as a result." Mr. Street said around half of the homes planned for the greenbelt could be taken out of the Black Country plan, although he conceded that preparing brownfield sites for redevelopment would require major regeneration.
Coronavirus hasn't gone away, and the West Midlands is now seeing a rise in cases due to two new variants, a health chief has warned. Katie Spence, Deputy Director of the UK Health Security Agency in the region, issued the warning amid concerns over complacency. But the health boss said the rise has not led to a significant increase in hospital admissions or deaths due to the COVID-19 vaccines. She said, "It's been a number of months since the easing of COVID-19 restrictions, and we are all enjoying some normality after a challenging 2 years which impacted on all corners of life. As we now look forward to life without restrictions and head into the social summer holiday period, we must keep in mind that the virus has not gone away. In fact, in recent weeks, we have seen a rise in cases in the West Midlands, with a shift in the dominant strain from the Omicron BA.2 variant. The latest data indicates that Omicron BA.4 and BA.5 now account for more than half of the rising COVID-19 cases in the UK and are driving the recent increase in infections. We are fortunate that so far the rise in cases has not led to a significant increase in hospital admissions or deaths, and this is down to the efficacy of the vaccine and the incredible efforts of people across the country getting vaccinated." Ms. Spence said, "People need to remain vigilant, take precautions and ensure they're up to date with their COVID-19 vaccines, and people should still stay at home if they have the virus. People should meet others outdoors this summer and wear face coverings in crowded, enclosed spaces or on public transport and in shops, and make sure to wash their hands regularly. We need to continue to keep ourselves and our loved ones safe, and vaccination is the best form of defence we have. It's never too late to get vaccinated," she said. "Let's enjoy the summer and our regained freedoms, but keep in mind that COVID-19 hasn't gone away and we all need to do our bit to live safely."
Efforts to tackle organised crime in the West Midlands could be severely hit by civil service cuts, the region's police commissioner has warned. West Midlands Police and Crime Commissioner Simon Foster said potential cuts to the National Crime Agency would have adverse consequences for his force. It comes amid warnings that the National Crime Agency, considered Britain's equivalent of the FBI, could see staff numbers reduced amid a government plan to cut civil service numbers by more than 90,000. Mr. Foster was commenting after former National Crime Agency head Lynn Owens said cuts would have a devastating impact on tackling serious and organised crime. Mr. Foster said, "I share the concern of Lynn Owens that the proposed cuts for the civil service will have an impact on the National Crime Agency and its crime-fighting ability. The National Crime Agency does incredibly important work targeting some of the country's most serious organised criminals. Any cuts to its capabilities will have adverse consequences for forces like West Midlands Police. West Midlands Police has worked with the National Crime Agency on a number of major operations, including one in 2020, which saw £7 million cash and more than 200 kilograms of Class A drugs seized. Chief Constable Sir David Thompson said the National Crime Agency needed sustainability over its long-term finances and that any staff cuts would leave forces spending more time dealing with higher threats. At the moment, we are working very hard to make sure we have got that seamless partnership when we work with the National Crime Agency, Sir David said. The risk is the way the budgets are constructed and potential reductions to the civil service.
The University of Wolverhampton has a mental health support budget of just £3 per student, according to mental health charity HUMEN. HUMEN has revealed that the university has the smallest mental health budget of any in the UK, after the charity ranked 80 universities based on the mental health provision. It did this by assessing the satisfaction, engagement, awareness, financing and service provision of all of the UK's universities. While Wolverhampton had the lowest budget, it came 62nd out of 80 based on these five factors. The University of Wolverhampton was rated as excellent for engagement, good for student satisfaction and average for awareness. However, it was also rated poor for financing and service provision. Meanwhile, University of Birmingham came bottom of the pile, ranking 80th for its overall mental health care. Professor Julia Clark, Deputy Vice-Chancellor at the University of Wolverhampton, said, "We take our responsibilities for the mental health and well-being of our students very seriously. We know that the pandemic has had a direct effect on both the mental health and well-being of many of our students, as they have struggled to maintain their studies in the face of significant challenges. And as a part of this, we have recently launched, in partnership with students and the City of Wolverhampton Council, our Student Mental Health and Wellbeing Strategy. This recognises that well-being needs to be an integral element of how we study and work every day, and also recognises the synergy between physical, social and mental well-being, which equates to do so much more than monetary value."
Up next, we hear from Helen, who of course has for us the Beacon update.
Hi everyone, and hello July. Yep, we have rolled around to another new month and I'm back to let you know everything that we've got happening here at Beacon. And well, let me tell you, there's quite a lot. Our lifestyle team have got a packed month of activities for you, including coffee mornings in our Sedgley Centre on July the 15th and our Stourbridge Centre on July the 22nd, tandem biking on July the 18th, 10-pin bowling on July the 22nd, gentle movement classes on July the 19th in Stourbridge and July the 27th in Sedgley, a walk at West Park in Wolverhampton on July the 29th, a pub trip on July the 27th as well. There's much more besides, and you can find out more on our website about our activities for the month and how you can get involved. Just head to www.beaconvision.org/what-on-july-2022. That's www.beaconvision.org/what-on-july-2022. But you can also give us a ring on the usual number 01902 880 111 or email inquiries@beaconvision.org. And on the subject of our lifestyle team, we have really had a busy few weeks with our members with plenty going on, as I say. So I'll start with our members had a really good time when they visited the Brighton Trust Moat and Gardens recently. Did you see what I did there? There's nothing quite like a spot of fishing, definitely in the sunshine as well. And we've got plenty of photographs which she shared on our social media this week of them in action. If you'd like to join them and find out more, get in touch. We were also delighted to welcome a lady called Hassana Knight to our Sedgley Centre recently to talk to our members about her book, The Silent Thief, in which she recounts her experience of glaucoma and how she helps others through her work as an empowerment speaker and her business to inspire her. Our members really enjoyed listening to her story and it gave them a chance to share their own experience with sight loss as well. As I say, if you'd like to find out more about any of our activities and how you could get involved, give us a call 01902 880 111 or email inquiries@beaconvision.org. Lastly this week, Do you want to update your wardrobe on a budget? Well, I'll be honest, I think we all do right now. And that's our eBay store. You can get some of the biggest names in fashion for bargain prices. Shop now. Just head to www.ebay.co.uk/USR/Beacon Charity Shop. You can also find us by searching just for Beacon Charity Shop. Of course, our charity shops, the real life ones that is, are well worth a visit as well. I picked up a fabulous wooden baby walker for my son this week for the bargain price of just £5. Right, that's it for this week. I'll be back to chat to you all again soon. Bye-bye.
Thank you very much for that jam-packed update, Helen. Up now, it's our next block of local news. And starting this one off, we first hear Angela.
An abandoned Grade 2 listed swimming bath site in Wolverhampton has been described as a hotspot for antisocial behaviour after another dramatic arson incident. 30 firefighters descended upon the old Heath Town swimming baths following reports of a fire at 6:20pm last Thursday. The fire had started to spread to the first floor, affecting around a third of the building in all. Crews managed to bring the fire under control by around 7pm and it was confirmed to be out by 9:30pm. A nearby resident, who gave her name as Sarah, said the building has been a trouble spot for some time and that she doesn't feel safe walking through the area with her children. She said, "It's an old building which has been left empty. This has been going on for years. However, around 3 weeks ago, we noticed teenagers on the roof of it. Then they have also been getting inside the building. One day I was working from home and I could hear crashing and banging. It sounded like a car crash, to be honest. They'd smashed all the top windows of the building. My biggest problem with this is I walk through the area to take my kids to school and my kids don't like walking there now." Conservative councillor Uday Singh said, "It's incredibly disappointing and sad to see the former Heath Town Bath set on fire in broad daylight. The Heath Town Baths has long been targeted by vandals and we've repeatedly sought guarantees over the security of the site. As a Grade 2 listed building, I hope that it can be restored as part of the redevelopment and that this part of Wolverhampton's history will not be lost."
Former coal miner Lee Anderson is visiting Dudley this month to air his views at a £25 a head event hosted by Dudley North MP Marco Longhi. The Ashfield MP sparked controversy last month when he waded in on the cost of living crisis by claiming meals could be cooked for 30 pence a day. It came after he was named the worst man in Britain for 2021 by a national newspaper over his decision to avoid watching the England football team in the European Championship finals last summer as a protest against Gareth Southgate's side taking the knee. Mr. Longhi said the July 8th event would feature plenty of fun, straight talking as Mr. Anderson reflected on his life from the coal mines to the green benches. Lee is proper box office and he shoots from the hip, so people can expect a night high on entertainment, said Mr. Longhi. He puts forward messages that many people really want to hear, so it's no surprise there are calls for him to have more of a role in the Conservative Party nationally. Mr. Anderson, who like Mr. Longhi is a staunch Brexiteer, was a Labour councillor before defecting to the Tories in 2018. After landing the Worst Man Award in the Mirror's real New Year's Honours list, he said, "There was some stiff competition in the final, but I managed to pip Piers Corbyn. I would like to thank my team, backroom staff and the local Labour Party who made all this possible." The event takes place at Dudley Ex-Servicemen's Club on Hall Street from 7pm.
Two paramedics have been recognised for their outstanding act of bravery by West Midlands Police after being stabbed on duty. Paramedics Dina Evans and Mick Hipgrave from Willenhall Ambulance Hub were called to an address in Wolverhampton along with police colleagues following concerns for the welfare of a man on Monday, July the 6th, 2020. As emergency services gained entry to the property, the patient came out of the front door with two knives and stabbed Dina and Mick. Despite both being seriously injured, they bravely helped each other in the moments after the attack to get to safety whilst police detained the patient. West Midlands Police Deputy Chief Constable Vanessa Jardine presented the pair with a National Police Public Bravery Award and Silver Medal at a ceremony at Tally Ho. Dina said, "It was a huge privilege to receive such a prestigious award from our police colleagues for our bravery on what was the worst day of our lives. We will both be forever immensely grateful for the police's help on that day, along with our West Midlands Ambulance Service family too." Last year, the force presented Dina and Mick with Chief Constable's commendations in 2021. The National Police Public Bravery Award, which is signed by the National Police Chiefs Council, is one rarely given out. They were instituted in 1965 to recognise the assistance provided by members of the public who have intervened to foil criminal acts and to come to the assistance of others. The honour recognises outstanding acts of bravery or meritorious devotion to civic duty in support of the police and thereby contributing to the maintenance of law and order.
A rescue boat worth £2,000 has been stolen from a historic Dudley venue. The bright orange pneumatic 360 rescue boat was taken from the grounds of Himley Hall and Park between June the 26th and June the 30th. The boat is used by Himley Hall Sailing Club and has been described as a massive loss. Also stolen was the cover for the boat, which is worth an additional £300. Sarah Bonner, Vice Commodore for the club, said, "We have had our safety boat stolen from the boat park at Himley Hall Sailing Club. This is a massive loss to our club. We think it would have taken at least three or four people to have loaded it in a van. Without the safety boat, we can't run courses or have juniors down. We are lucky to have two boats, but losing one really limits us. We have children come down for sessions and things like that. About 11 months ago, we had our safety boat engines stolen. It's massive for the club. Himley Hall Sailing Club is a small, family-orientated club which places emphasis on young sailors." A spokesperson for Staffordshire Police said, "A pneumatic 360 rescue boat was stolen from Himley Hall between Sunday the 26th and Friday the 30th of June. The boat is worth £2,000 and the cover £300. Any information, please call 101 and quote Incident 537, June the 30th.
Residents of a tight-knit community have been left heartbroken by the news their prefab homes are to be demolished and replaced. The multi-million pound programme by Wolverhampton Council aims to replace its outdated housing stock, with work set to get underway in the coming months. 93 prefabs, which date back to 1946, will be knocked down and replaced with modern, affordable and energy-efficient bungalows on the Lincoln Green Estate in the Northwood Park area of Bushbury. All residents affected will be offered the opportunity to remain on the estate and move into one of the newly built properties as the scheme is carried out in phases. But those living in them don't see the buildings as outdated, with many very happy with their living conditions and devastated by the news. Gerald and Agnes Wellsbury are among those who have been left distressed by the plans. Agnes said, "The plans for the new ones just look tiny, but there's nothing we can do, is there? If they have to come down, they have to come down. The bungalows are going to be smaller and the gardens are going to be smaller by the looks of the plans. I don't think this needs to happen. Ours is lovely and warm. There's no heating problems at all. We barely ever have it on. Everybody thinks they're tiny, but they really aren't. They're lovely and comfortable." Councillor Bhupinder Gakhal, Cabinet Member for City Assets and Housing, said, "Despite previous refurbishment works, some homes remain difficult to heat, are not energy efficient and continue to be difficult to maintain. With the current rising cost of energy, it is important we also improve the energy efficiency of any poorly performing council-owned housing. We understand change like this may cause concern for some of our residents, but I would like to reassure them that their health and well-being will remain our top priority. The programme is being managed on behalf of the council by Wolverhampton Homes, with representatives holding consultations, allowing residents to ask questions and raise any concerns.
Up now, it's time to engage those mental gears, as we have the quiz for this week.
Hello and welcome to this week's golf-themed flashback quiz. All the answers you need can be found later in Flashback Rogers' Did You Know feature. But for now, here are your questions. Are you ready? Question 1. Why do golf balls have dimples? Question 2. What were golf balls originally made from? Question 3. How many dimples do golf balls have? Question 4. What is the name of the oldest golf course? Question 5. How many people play golf in the UK and Ireland? And finally, question 6. What is put in the core of biodegradable golf balls? As always, I'll be back to reveal the answers later in the show, but for now, good luck!
Thank you for those questions, Mina. I'll of course give those a ponder as the show progresses. But up now, we have another block of local news. And first up for this one, it's Christine.
The Black Country Festival is back, and the centrepiece of this year's festival is the big Black Country Weekender on Saturday, July 16th and Sunday, July 17th at Himley Hall. Saturday, we'll see a 20-piece orchestra, guest DJs and vocalists bring a slice of Ibiza to the Black Country, with a Proms in the Park event running from 3pm to 9pm. The following day, 80s stars Go West, The Fizz and Roland Gift from the Fine Young Cannibals will be joined by a number of top tribute acts and great comedians for MusicCom 2022. It runs from 12 noon to 8pm and will feature something for all ages as a great family day out. Free family fun days will also run in town centres in Dudley on Saturday, July 9th, 9am to 5pm, Hales Owen on Tuesday, July 14th, 9am to 5pm, Brierley Hill on Saturday, July 30th, 9am to 4pm, and Sedgley Sunday, July 31st, 10am to 4pm. There will also be a classic car show at the Dudley event on July the 9th. The festival comes to a close on Sunday, July 31st, with the first ever Black Country Folk Festival at Himley Hall, with early bird tickets currently available. Councillor Sue Greenaway, the Mayor of Dudley, said, "It's great to see the festival back to normal this year with a month packed full of events for the whole family. The Black Country Festival is a great chance to fly the flag, come together and be proud of who we are and where we're from. I will be at a number of these events and I look forward to a Boston month meeting lots of proper Black Country folk."
The cost of buying new school uniform can really add up for parents, especially for families with more than one child. Yet, new research has found that up to 1.4 million school uniforms, many of which could be reused, are thrown away in the UK every year. This is not only bad news for the environment due to their high plastic content, but is also a lost opportunity to pass the garments on to other children who could benefit from them. One project in Wolverhampton is trying to fix the problem and ensure pre-loved uniform finds a new home. Mother of two, Rosalind Shaw, runs a school uniform swap shop at St Columba's United Reformed Church in Finchfield, where outgrown blazers, dresses, jumpers and other items of clothing are available for free. "We were looking for an ecological community project for the church to take part in, and having moved back to Wolverhampton with my children, I found finding children's uniform for a new school was quite costly, and I know they grow out of them very quickly. We had the idea for a swap shop where parents could drop off uniform that was too small and swap it for bigger sizes. We started the swap shop in 2019 and it has grown to such an extent that we have had to convert one of the church rooms into a permanent home for it. parents can come along and choose free pre-loved uniform for their children. They don't need to bring anything to swap, but we are grateful for all uniform donations. Everyone is welcome to come along. The swap shop will be open every Sunday afternoon during the school holidays, starting on July the 24th from 12 p.m. until 2:30 p.m.
A plan to limit the number of houses in multiple occupation across Dudley Borough has been given the go-ahead after they were linked with increased crime levels. The direction will give more power to the authority to restrict existing properties from being converted into HMOs across various parts of the town. While they help to meet a specific housing need, especially for those on a low income, there are concerns that high concentrations in certain areas are harming their character, putting pressure on infrastructure and diminishing community relations. The main issues with HMOs revolve around antisocial behaviour, noise, inadequate living conditions, litter and parking issues, it is claimed. Evidence provided by West Midlands Police and the Council's antisocial behaviour team found a correlation between HMOs and increased crime and drug offence levels. The proposal, referred to as an Article 4 direction, will now go out for public feedback for at least 6 weeks before coming back for Cabinet approval. But even then, it would not be implemented for another 12 months to give developers and landowners notice and avoid the risk of them claiming compensation from the council. There is currently a huge spread of HMOs across the borough, with large concentrations within wards surrounding Dudley Town Centre, Stourbridge Town Centre, Lye, Haileswowen Town Centre, Shell Corner, Coseley and Gornal, with smaller concentrations in other areas.
The Way is set to resume open access sessions for youngsters after a 15-week shutdown, with free entry until September. Bosses have announced the return of open access sessions at the Youth Zone in School Street, Wolverhampton, which is undergoing a major staffing overhaul as part of a revamp of services. Open access will resume on the 19th of July, with sessions for juniors aged 8 to 12 running every Tuesday and Thursday between 4 p.m. and 8 p.m. Seniors aged 13 to 19, or up to 25 for those with additional needs, can drop in every Wednesday and Friday between 4:30 p.m. and 9 p.m. and every Saturday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Sessions will normally cost 50p, but the entry fee will be waived until September. Bosses have pledged to add more sessions in the months ahead. Recently appointed CEO Jackie Redding said, "We are so excited to welcome young people back to The Way as we relaunch our open access sessions. These will also grow in number over the coming months. Our members will be able to access all their favourite activities by just turning up and paying their 50p, and I'm also delighted to welcome a number of amazing new youth workers. I'd like to especially thank the City of Wolverhampton Council, the YMCA and the Walls Foundation for their amazing support over the past couple of months. Together we have worked to ensure we've been able to still welcome young people to The Way while also focusing on our relaunch."
Dudley's biggest annual beer festival will go ahead again this year. There were fears that the Dudley Winter Ales Fair would not be held this year because of problems in finding an organiser. The Dudley and South Staffordshire branch of the Campaign for Real Ales chairman, Stuart Betts, said that Carl Denning, who had organised the last three festivals, had returned to the role after initially dropping out. "It is great news that he has decided to take on the festival organiser job again. It means we will be able to have a festival," he said. Mr Denning said that he was calling a meeting at the Bird in Hand pub in John Street, Wordsley, to start planning for the event, which will be taking place in Dudley Town Hall from November 24th to the 26th. He urged branch members and anyone from the campaign interested in getting involved to come along. "It is hoped that more camera members from across the region will come forward to volunteer in setting up and taking down and manning the bar and helping in the wide variety of jobs that are involved in putting on a successful festival.
The branch is looking for ideas for a theme for the 2022 Winter Ales Fair to go on the glasses, posters and promotional material, and will be choosing a charity to benefit from the event. The number of beers and ciders that will be offered has yet to be decided, but there will be an extended choice of foreign bottled beers at this year's event.
Coming up now, we have some information about an audiobook lending service and some details about Beat the Street Dudley. The national UK charity Listening Books provides an audiobook lending service for anyone with a disability, learning difficulty, mental health condition or illness who finds that it affects their ability to read or hold books in the usual way. They currently have a number of free memberships available for people living in Wolverhampton and the West Midlands who might benefit from joining the service, but would find their usual membership fees a barrier. Listening Books has over 9,000 wonderful fiction and non-fiction titles, including popular authors such as Zadie Smith, Agatha Christie, Hilary Mantel, Lee Child, Celia Ahern, and many more. You can view their full catalogue at www.listening-books.org.uk/library. Members can listen to the audiobooks in three easily accessible ways. They can be sent through the post on MP3 CD with no postage costs or late fees. They can be streamed online over Wi-Fi on computers, laptops, tablets or smartphones. And they can be downloaded through their website or app to these devices. A free membership provides access to all options above, so members can choose what works best for them. Members can also access over 7,000 newspapers and magazines from their partner service, PressReader. They don't require any financial proof for the free memberships, just confirmation that this annual cost of between £20 and £45 would be a barrier to joining. If you'd like to find out more about joining Listening Books, visit the website at www.listening-books.org.uk/free-memberships. Or alternatively, you can call 020-7407-9417. In other news, Beat the Street is coming to Dudley. Beat the Street is a free, fun initiative that will see Dudley transformed into a giant game. See how far you can walk, cycle, run, scoot and roll in just 6 weeks. There are great challenges to enjoy and prizes up for grabs. The game will start on Wednesday 29th of June and will end on Wednesday 10th of August. Beat the Street Dudley has been commissioned by Dudley Council and the Canal and River Trust with support from the National Lottery via Sport England. It is being delivered by Intelligent Health. Played outdoors in the local community, Beat the Street is a perfect way to get you and your family back into action, out of the house, having fun and exercising together. To find out more, visit www.beatthestreet.me/Dudley. Up now, we have our final block of local news for this edition, and starting this one off for us, it's Angela.
One of the iconic black iron horses that line the Wolverhampton to Birmingham Railway has been restored to its former glory after being hacked to pieces by thieves trying to sell its legs for scrap. After disappearing from public view underneath bushes, the horse, erected in 1987 near Coesley Railway Station, was flattened, hacked apart and buried under soil when a group of residents decided to revive her in 2018. The group of volunteers from Bayer Street Allotments have spent 3 years lovingly restoring their beloved horse, which they christened Rosie. They're now hoping to find a permanent home near the railway in Coesley so passengers can see her majesty and beauty as they travel through the Black Country. Nat Partridge said, "She was in a really sorry state when we saved her from the scrapyard 3 years ago. We've all worked so hard bringing Rosie back to her former glory, with some members of the group investing their own money to ensure the right materials were used. The East Coesley Big Local also had our backs with Rosie's restoration and helped financially. Thankfully, Ron Wedgbury has a friend in the metal business and they got Rosie looking so wonderful." She added, As it's the Queen's Jubilee year, we would love to get Rosie somewhere near Coesley Railway Station so everyone can see her. In 1987, artist Kevin Atherton installed the 12 iron horses at regular intervals along the railway line, creating the longest sculpture in the world, which lauded the proud industrial past of our region. The £10,000 sculpture was commissioned by British Rail, the former West Midlands County Council and West Midlands Arts.
West Midlands Ambulance Service has launched a drive to install 80 life-saving bleed control kits around the region after teaming up with an NHS charity. The kits contain a tourniquet and other trauma dressings and are vital in saving the lives of people who suffer major trauma, such as through a violent act. Last week, the partnership between West Midlands Ambulance Service and NHS Charities Together led to the first three bleed control kits being placed at three sites in North Warwickshire. Tim Cronin, Community Response Manager for West Midlands Ambulance Service, said, "These kits are vital to help save lives and can be used in the first few minutes of an injury by members of the public prior to an ambulance arriving. A number of kits, which contain a tourniquet and other trauma dressings, can already be found in parts of the region following the hard work by the Daniel Bard Foundation, which was set up after the son of Lynn Bard, who was fatally stabbed in Birmingham in 2017. Working closely with the foundation, West Midlands Ambulance Service helped develop the kits, and now, thanks to NHS Charities Together, we hope to provide a further 80 kits across the West Midlands during the next few months."
Charities, businesses and individual teams are challenging themselves to step things up a gear as they prepare to race for the top spot at Wolverhampton Crazy Races. An influx of new teams have signed up for the event, which will take place in the city centre on August the 21st, after a previous iteration of the event proved successful in Shrewsbury in May. The races see themed soapboxes taking timed runs down a track, with the fastest 10 carts going through to a final, with the quickest cart eventually being crowned the winner. Organiser Sarah Belcher said, "The crazy races at Shrewsbury and Northwich have been a great success. And as Wolverhampton is so local, many people who came to watch in Shrewsbury in May have chosen to get behind the wheel and race in Wolverhampton next month. It's incredible so many people want to take part, and we continue to welcome teams on board. Teams must design their soapbox, as they're judged on creativity as well as speed, and they must also do a short performance before racing. It isn't just getting in a cart and zooming down a track, it's a real extravaganza. The deadline for entering a team is looming, as teams must have entered by July the 31st. But we may well be full before then, thanks to so many people wanting to race and raise money for charity. Not only is the event a brilliant opportunity to raise money for charity, it's also a great way to network with fellow local businesses and get your name in front of thousands of spectators," added Sarah. "We'd recommend anyone wanting to take part to sign up as soon as they can, as they may be disappointed if they wait until the last minute to enter."
The memory of a Royal Navy nurse will live on as part of a new remembrance sculpture in tribute to community heroes. The 4-metre bronze sculpture has been unveiled at the National Memorial Arboretum as an opportunity to celebrate individuals from all walks of life. One of the dedications already on the Tree of Cherished Memories is a bronze figure chosen by Mark Richmond and his daughters Alice and Kelsey to celebrate the life of his wife Liz Richmond, who served in the Queen Alexandra's Royal Naval Nursing Service for over 32 years until she died last year, aged 52. Liz from Howes Owen in Dudley had an impressive Royal Navy nursing career, which took her and her family around the UK and beyond after completing her training at RNH Haslar in Gosport. In addition to a family posting in Gibraltar as an intensive care specialist, she also completed tours of Iraq, 2003, RAF Argus, and 2007, 34 Field Hospital, Camp Bastion, and Afghanistan, 2009, 202 Field Hospital, and supported UK Armed Forces humanitarian missions in Sierra Leone during the Ebola crisis in 2014, and the West Indies after Hurricane Irma destroyed many people's lives in 2017. The dates only represent Liz's military career, not how many lives she touched with her work and the people she supported, her husband Mark explains. In January 2021, she was diagnosed with metastatic terminal cancer and passed away just weeks later. We all miss her incredible warmth, charm, smile and laughter. She has left a gaping chasm which will not easily be filled, Mark added. The Arboretum is a peaceful resting place for those who have given their lives in service, something that represents Liz perfectly.
A new BBC Three show follows a 27-year-old female business owner from Wolverhampton who is on a mission to shake up the haulage scene. The one-off documentary follows Shanna Patterson, who is getting more young drivers on the road with a driving school to help ease the HGV driver shortage. She took over the West Midlands-based family business, HGV Training Midlands, after the death of her mother. Shanna was only 21 at the time, but as the daughter of a veteran HGV driver, trucking runs through in her blood. Viewers will get a front seat view of her driving school based in Willenhall, where young learners can bag their licence by completing an intense course, juggling the business with helping to raise her younger sister. Shanna is also trying to get her own HGV licence with help from veteran instructor and dad Trevor. Queen of Trucks was commissioned as a result of the West Midlands Voices initiative, which is a joint BBC Three and BBC England scheme designed to develop production talent in the West Midlands in partnership with Create Central.
Up now, it's trivia time, brought to us by Flashback Roger and his Did You Know feature.
Hello again, everyone. I hope they're all okay and enjoying your favourite pastimes. I must admit to being far less involved in anything active these days, but I've been following various sports as best I can. Last week, I turned up some interesting facts about tennis and was able to share that. And this week, I discovered odd items about golf. Now then, did you know that? If you've ever wondered like me why golf balls have dimples, well, I found out that the dimples make the ball more aerodynamic and allow it to travel further, and there's me thinking they just made the ball look cute. Originally smooth, it was found that by putting a texture on the surface, it helped the travel. Raised spots were first used, and then the dimples were inverted, as we see today. Golf balls have evolved through the years from being made of solid wood as far back as the 15th century through to ones filled with cow hair, feathers and a type of latex called gutta percha to modern standard ones filled with solid rubber. Today's balls have between 300 and 500 dimples dependent on the brand. And the old course at St Andrews Links in Fife, Scotland is the oldest golf course in the world. Archbishop Hamilton's charter of 1552 is the earliest documentary evidence that allowed the people of St Andrews to play golf on the links, although it was secondary permission, as the prime reason for the charter was to allow the breeding of rabbits. And it's Mark Twain who reputedly said that golf is a good walk spoiled, though the claim is hotly contended. It doesn't matter who said it really, because here in the UK and Ireland, there are currently 5.2 million people who play the game and obviously don't mind having their walk spoiled. Modern golf balls, however, are not environmentally friendly, so that there are a lot of lost golf balls lying at the bottom of water hazards, slowly decomposing. A sonar survey done in 2009 of Loch Ness in Scotland showed an estimated 100,000 lost golf balls lying at the bottom of the loch. But there are no golf courses around Loch Ness. But that's because local players who like using the loch as a driving range. I wonder how Nessie feels about that. While a standard golf ball can take up to 1,000 years to break down, there are now biodegradable ones that break down in water. There is an added bonus to these innovations because the clever manufacturers fill the core with seeds or fish food in ones used near rivers or the sea. Well, who'd have thought it, eh? For wooden balls to fish food. All strange but true, and you heard it here first. Any road up, I'm off to count my dimples and see if there's any of them chocolate golf balls left that were in my stocking at Christmas. Wish me luck. Ooh, what little gems will I discover for next week, I ask myself. Oh well, bye for now. Ta-ra a bit. Ta-ra.
Cheers very much for those facts, Roger. Up now, it's time to move over into the sport.
Hello, I'm Ian, and here's your latest football news. Wolves have now confirmed that they are not taking up the £25 million option to sign Trincao permanently from Barcelona at the end of his season-long loan. The 22-year-old endured a difficult time at Molineux, scoring just 3 and registering 1 assist in his 30 games in all competitions. As a result, the club made the decision not to make him a permanent Wolves player. Wolves paid around £5.1 million in a loan fee, and media reports have revealed that the club will receive 20% of any fee that Barcelona sell him for. Trincao still has 3 years left on his deal with the Catalan giants, meaning Wolves could be well placed for a cash windfall if he makes a move away from the Camp Nou. Meanwhile, it is understood that there is no impact on or threat to Wolves following the news that owners Fosun have debts racking up to £40 billion. A Financial Times article detailing the debt has left supporters concerned about the Chinese conglomerate's future ownership of Wolves, but there is no impact expected at the club. This is due to the philosophy in which Fosun have run Wolves, with a focus on keeping the club self-sufficient and financially independent. Fosun are eager for Wolves not to be reliant on investment every year, and that the club will generate its own income, which points to their movements in fashion, esports, and music. The owners hope this will be for the long-term benefit of the football club, and that keeping them well-run, it will not put their future in doubt. As a result, the news surrounding Fosun's debt is not expected to have any impact on Wolves or their ownership. Albion's players are determined to put right the wrongs of last season, manager Steve Bruce has declared. The Baggies finished a hugely disappointing 10th in the Championship last year, their lowest league finish for 20 years. Bruce says he has seen a determination in his players to move on from last year and enjoy a successful campaign that hopefully ends with winning promotion. We've tried to instill into them that we're not going to accept that being adequate, the boss said. We know what the demands are of the club. There's a determination amongst them, and hopefully we'll see that at the start of the season. Everybody wants to get off to a good start. It's a marathon in front of us, but the amount of games we're playing in August and September is huge. So it's really important that we hit the ground running. That's why we're putting them through their paces and getting them ready for it. Bruce said summer recruits John Swift and Jed Wallace have already made a big impression in training. The two signings have come into the group. It's been ideal for them because they get to know the team very well, the 61-year-old continued. After seeing them this week, I think they'll be very good additions to the squad. Hopefully we're not finished in that department either.
Up now, we have some very important information about how you can protect yourself from holiday fraud and associated scams.
Hello, my name is Ashley Jones, and I'm the Regional Fraud Protection Advisor with the Southwest Regional Organised Crime Unit. And I pop along here quite often to tell you about how to stay safe from fraud in your life. And today, I'd like to talk about holiday fraud, because I know many people would be thinking about booking their holidays around about now. And millions of people will use the internet to book their trips away online. Now, whilst you can get some fantastic deals this way, criminals do take advantage of this medium. They advertise flights and accommodation and other travel services which are not provided and quite simply don't exist. Now, you may only become aware that you've been the victim of a scam like this when you turn up at the airport, or even worse, you arrive at your destination to find that no booking has been made. False advertising can be either entirely fraudulent or a fraudulent advert posted on a genuine website. Images of the holidays that you may look forward to can be used to make the offer seem authentic. However, they might have been copied from anywhere on the internet. Criminals will often ask you to complete the booking away from the site on which you see the advertising. They might even offer an increased discount if you do so. They may encourage payment by direct bank transfer rather than third-party payment providers by things such as PayPal, as this makes it much harder for you to recover your funds if they're lost. Fraudsters may even send confirmation emails to convince you that the genuine is true and it's officially been made. So, how do you protect yourselves? Where possible, pay for holidays and travel using a credit card, because this affords you the greatest level of protection and an element of insurance. Ensure that your booking is covered by a consumer protection scheme, such as ABTA, the Association of British Travel Agents, or ATOL, Air Travel Organisers Licence. However, these logos, of course, can be copied by the fraudsters to add credibility to their own adverts. Look for the membership numbers that they should display, contact the schemes, and confirm that that number is correct to the company that you're booking with. And research any property before you book. Check to see if it's advertised anywhere else or if it has its own website. And be cautious if the prices are significantly different to what you've been offered to what you can see somewhere else. Remember, things which are too good to be true, more often than not, really are. And don't be convinced simply by photographs, as they could have been taken from anywhere on the internet. Do a reverse image check by using the internet services to do that. So, those are the ways that you can stay safe and protect yourself from holiday fraud. If you get any inkling that something is wrong or not right about the situation that you're looking at, remember, if possible, pay by credit card. Be suspicious of any discount offered for paying by bank transfer or by requests from the organisation you're booking with to book off the original site. And think, can I trust the advert? How do I know that this booking really exists? Okay, thanks for listening. I'm sure you will have a wonderful summer holiday if you use my advice to protect yourself from fraud. And I'll speak to you again very soon.
Up now, we're to hear what the weather has in store for us. Brought to us, as always, by Mina.
The weather for this week ahead starts to look dry and settled, with temperatures typically hovering around 24 degrees. UV levels are expected to be moderate to high throughout the week. The sunrise and sunset times are 5 a.m. for the sunrise and 9:27 p.m. for the sunset. For Friday 8th through to Sunday 10th of July, we have sunny breakouts and a light breeze with a maximum temperature of 24 degrees. For Monday 11th and Tuesday 12th of July, it's sunny moments and a pale breeze with a maximum temperature of 23 degrees. And on Wednesday 13th and Thursday 14th of July, we have sunny spells and a pleasant breeze with a maximum temperature of 25 degrees. So that's your forecast for this week. As always, enjoy the weather.
Thank you very much for that, Mina. Up now, we have an informative piece all about cataracts.
TNF Soundings. Features from across the UK.
This is Alastair Hutton with an article titled, Don't Let Cataracts Hold You Back. During Cataracts Awareness Month, charities including Guide Dogs UK and Vision Scotland have been keen to show that having cataracts doesn't prevent us from living a full life. Their websites are packed with support, helpful information and advice. It's normal to worry when you're diagnosed with an eye condition, but there are ways to manage when living with cataracts, and when necessary, surgery can treat them. Cataract surgery is generally effective and straightforward. It's estimated that in the UK, 30% of people aged 65 years or over have a visually impairing cataract in one or both eyes. 95% of cataracts are age-related and usually occur after the age of 40. This is a condition experienced worldwide, and it's one that more than 12 million people live with. If you've been diagnosed recently as having developed cataracts, it may be of interest to know that this condition apparently isn't new. The earliest documented case of a cataract is reported to be in a museum in Cairo that houses a small statue from the 5th dynasty, which is about 2457 BC. This wooden statue of a priest clearly has a white patch carved into the pupil of the left eye. The patch is believed to represent a cataract. Now that you've been diagnosed as having developed a cataract or cataracts, there are some questions you may be asking yourself. First, the science bit. Just what is a cataract? On their website, Vision Scotland have all the information you need to help you understand what's happening to your eye or eyes. A cataract develops when the normally transparent crystalline lens found inside our eyes becomes cloudy. This can make it feel like you're looking through a fogged up or frosty window. It can become more difficult to read, drive a vehicle, especially at night, or see the expressions on friends' faces if your vision is cloudy. Most cataracts grow slowly and can take up to several years to affect your vision, but in some cases they can reduce the vision quite quickly. In the first instance, you may be able to improve your vision with stronger lighting and updated glasses. But if your vision can no longer be improved by these means, then you might need cataract surgery. You may ask yourself, can I drive with cataracts? Guide Dogs UK advise that if your sight still meets the minimum standard required for driving, you don't have to tell the DVLA you have cataracts. But you should have this confirmed by your ophthalmologist and continue to have your sight monitored regularly because things can change as cataracts develop. What about going to work? Cataracts don't usually have an impact on your day-to-day work, but they can, especially if your job involves a lot of screen time. Talk to your employer about things that may help you, such as making adjustments to lighting to help you see better, providing aids, such as a magnifying lens to help with reading, and taking time off for appointments and checkups. You can make slight adjustments to your daily life, too, to help make living with cataracts easier, getting stronger prescription glasses, for example, or using brighter lighting for reading at home, using visual aids such as magnifying lenses, and you may find wearing sunglasses helps when you're outdoors in bright light. If you find cataracts are making everyday activities such as reading, watching television, working, and driving more difficult, you may want to discuss cataract surgery with your doctor. Surgery is the only effective treatment for cataracts. It's very common and has a high success rate. As in all areas of medicine, treatment of cataracts has an interesting history. In fact, the treatment of cataracts may be one of the first ailments people tried to remedy surgically, and some of those methods were astonishing. Vision Health Institute in Orlando, Florida, report that the earliest records of these treatments date back to 600 BC. In those days, practitioners used something called the couching technique, which involved smacking the eye with a blunt object until the lens dislodged entirely. While it could improve total blindness, this technique left the patient completely unable to focus their vision. For up-to-date 21st century advice and information, visit www.guidedogs.org.uk and www.visionscotland.com.
TNS Soundings.
Have you done any good at the quiz this week? Well, now's the time to find out, as we have the quiz answers.
Hello, and here are your answers for this week's flashback quiz. Are you ready? Question 1. Why do golf balls have dimples? And the answer? To make them aerodynamic and travel further. Question 2. What were golf balls originally made from? And the answer here is wood. Question 3. How many dimples do golf balls have? And the answer here is between 300 to 500. Question 4. What is the name of the oldest golf course? And the answer here is St Andrews Links in Scotland. Question 5. How many people play golf in the UK and Ireland? And the answer, 5.2 million. And finally, question 6. What is put in the core of biodegradable golf balls? And the answer here is seeds and fish food. How did you do? Great, I hope. But if not, there's always another chance to have a go next week. Now, did you get the answer to this week's Guess the Sound question that Rob asked at the start of the show? Here's one more chance to hear it before I tell you the answer. The sound you just heard was a recording of water gurgling out of a bottle. Now, to end this week's edition of the Black Country Talking News, we have an interview with Simon Cox of Cobert Systems about their products that are designed to help people with visual impairments.
TNF Soundings. Features from across the UK.
Hello, this is Tim Pennick with another of our series of interviews with an expert. Here we provide an opportunity for another UK-based supplier of assistive technology to introduce their company and some of their products. The guest for today's interview is Simon Cox of Cobert Systems Limited. I asked Simon to start by outlining the beginnings of Cobert as an organisation.
Cobert started probably around 33 years ago now. Was started by my ex-father-in-law when he was in the RAF based in Hong Kong and basically knew he was coming back to the UK. So we started a trading company, just bringing in products and supplying Argos and Grattans and people like that. And he came across a clock, which we still do. We call the T10, the pyramid clock. Thought it might be of use for visually impaired and blind people. So when he got back to the UK, he went and visited the RNIB and they said, yeah, this is great. We love this. Here's a wish list of things we would like to see. And, of course, these things didn't exist. The first thing that was on the list was a talking kitchen scale. So he employed an engineer, an electronics engineer, and we started basically developing products and have carried on ever since.
So it wasn't specifically an idea. You didn't have assistive technology in your sights to begin with when you thought that he didn't have that. It was more general products, not specifically for the visually impaired market when you first started. Is that right?
Yeah, that's correct.
Yeah, that's really interesting.
Just by coming over this talking clock, sort of started the whole accessible product era of the company, I guess, and within a few years after the kitchen scale come on market, we dropped all the other products and concentrated just on talking products.
And you've got some really famous products in the market. I mean, you've got the talking microwave, which is a product which people often mention. Can you tell us a bit about that?
Yes. Again, you know, over the years, we've developed the sort of world's first. The kitchen scale was the first, the microwave. And basically, the microwave works the standard way a normal microwave would work, so you can use it manually. It also has preset programs in there. And if applicable, the oven will tell you to rearrange food halfway through cooking, which obviously means stir or turn over. And again, if applicable, it will tell you to leave to stand at the end of the cooking cycle.
Is that a conventional oven as well as a microwave, or just a microwave?
We do two versions. We started off doing the microwave only, and then we got a lot of call a number of years down the road saying, can you do a combination oven? So we then developed a combination oven, which is, of course, the microwave, a convection oven, and also a grill. And it works by cooking either individually, either microwave on its own or convection oven on its own or grill on its own, or by combination. And the combination is microwave and convection, or microwave and grill.
And I understand you've now got an induction hob as well.
Yes, and we've had a number of calls over the years for the induction hobs. So about, it must be 4 or 5 years ago, we developed, again, the world's first talking induction hob, both a single and a double hob. So these aren't fitted hobs. These are tabletop hobs. And one of the reasons we went down that route was people were saying to us, well, look, you know, my son's a student. Do you have anything that he can cook on that's small? Now, the small induction hob is quite small. It's quite light. It only weighs about 4 or 5 kilos, if that. So it's quite portable. And also, you know, from anybody else's point of view, if they're going to stop with the relatives or friends or somewhere in a house that's not theirs, they can take it along with them, and it gives them some accessible way of cooking whilst they're there.
Sounds really useful. I wish I'd had one of those when I was a student. Does it? So what happens about things like with some induction hobs, you've got problems putting the saucepan or whatever in the right place on the hob. Is that fairly easy?
Yeah, basically. I mean, the hob is probably about 12 inches square. The maximum pan size you can use, or base of the pan, should be no more than about 10 inches. So pretty much anywhere where you put the pan on top of the hob, it will see the pan. And of course, an induction hob needs to use a ferrous pan, so a pan with ferrous materials. And the simple check is if your pan is magnetic, it will work. So the induction hobs have taken us quite some time. They are now back in stock, both the single and the double. And we were shipping them out the door last week as fast as we could possibly get them out. So they're now back in stock. And pretty much everything that we manufacture, bar perhaps a clock, we now have in stock.
And just a quick sort of whistle-stop tour around your products. So everything is talking.
Mostly everything is talking. We do, obviously, a selection of talking watches, talking clocks, but we also have a number of easy-to-see watches and clocks that don't talk, that have big faces and very clear to look at. We do a number of kitchen aids from, talking microwaves, induction hobs, kitchen scales, talking measuring jug. We do a number of household products like talking tape measure, a talking central heating timer, right through to some medical things like a talking blood pressure monitor. And we also do a number of fit over different styles of fit over sunshades or glasses. So we do a whole range of stuff, and everything is available on our website. And for those that can't access that, we can supply either an audio catalogue or a conventional large print catalogue.
Can you give us the phone number?
You certainly can. It's 01493 700172.
And the phone number once again for inquiries and sales is 01493 700172. 01493 700172.
TNS Soundings.
So that's it for another edition of the Black Country Talking News. A reminder to our CD listeners who have received CDs in padded envelopes that you don't need to send anything back to us. If you have a sight loss tip or someone you would like to wish a happy birthday to, just say hello to. Maybe even a poem or talking book you would like reviewed, then please get in touch with us at the Beacon Centre. Call 01902 880111. Email bctn@beaconvision.org or write to us at the Black Country Talking News, Beacon, Wolverhampton Road East, Wolverhampton, WV4 6AZ. We look forward to hearing from you. Thank you for listening, and thank you to all our supporters, donators and volunteers who without their support we would be unable to run this free service. Please note the information and views expressed in this recording does not necessarily represent the views of Beacon or Talking News and were accurate at the time of recording. Mentions of goods and services does not imply endorsement, and whilst every care is taken to supply accurate information, Beacon and Talking News do not undertake liability for any errors. So it's goodbye from all of us, stay safe, have a good week, and we look forward to bringing you next week's edition of the Black Country Talking News. Ta-ra!